Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. How many good games are there this weekend? Rivalry round, it seems like, at the showdown. Friday night footy, Carlton Collingwood, the Q Clash, the Battle of the Bridge, they are all there. Kane Corns is a little bit mid-90s, sort of grunge-style skateboards top today. How
last
are you?
Last time I wore this shirt, you asked me when I was going skateboarding, yeah. But I'm just excited about an epic round of footy, Brownie. Good to
and
be here.
And the cigar man himself, Isaac Smith, just the green velour. Have a look at him.
Yeah, we're quite dressed down compared to you. Got the suit top on.
Yes. You got to dress up. You got to look good. So, all right, let's get straight into the odds. And the premiership market sits this way at the moment. And a lot of these clubs play each other this weekend. But Geelong and the Giants are now the outright favourites. You could have got a big price on the Cats at the start of the year. Sydney, Carlton, all the way down to Collingwood. Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, I think, are out of the equation at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we keep an eye on Geelong, and haven't they come in from 22 last time? I think we first started mentioning it. And there's the Coleman medal. Charlie Kerner getting a lot of shots for goal, and Jesse Hogan, no surprises from two of the most successful teams in the comp, and they're going to get a lot of opportunities.
And Isaac Heaney continues to vote. He only had the 20-odd disposals, 20, I think, or 21 last week, but he also kicked three goals to go with that. So he was 5 last week into $4.50. Paddy Cripps went from 10 to 8. Tom Green voted last week. Zach Merritt voted last week as well. Caleb Strong, I don't think Bontempelli can win it from there this year. But speaking of Isaac Heaney, a mate sent me this bet that he had in the last quarter of opening round. So he saw Sydney flying against the Demons. Have a look at that. 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I think it was on the 7th of March this was placed. Isaac Heaney was flying into Sydney to win the premiership, $15, and that is a very, very good season-long bet.
It's a shrewd bet, and if you rate the coaches' award, the amount of votes that Isaac Heaney has got in that coaches' award, through seven games of the season, he's about in line with what Gary Ablett did, and only those two have had this many votes.
So. The only thing is you can only get three votes in the Brown, though, each week, though, so you can come really quickly and Goulden and a couple of others might have snuck a couple of votes off.
Yeah. Zach Merritt's second in that at the moment. Max Gawn is third. Okay, let's get into one of the biggest rivalries in the competition. It is the showdown. Port Adelaide, injury concerns, no Alirelia, no Sam Powell-Pepper. I think it sets up for Adelaide at the price. And they got into $2, then Connor Rosie comes back into the side. Now they're out to $2.26.
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to miss 3 weeks without hammy. Yeah, you ever done a false hammy?
No, I've never done a false one.
So he's done
a couple of false hammies.
They've said that they've scanned it. There's a little bit of a signal on the scans. The first soft tissue issue he's ever had, but he's trained well. He's got good power, and they think he's right to go. But if you like Adelaide, you like the fact that Alir isn't there, and Taylor Walker's got a pretty good record in showdown. Even when Alir was there last year, he got concussed, and Tex had a field day. So, and Sam Powell-Pepper's been really important. And I think the big one for Adelaide is getting Butts back in that side to shore up their defence. And he's the ideal for Charlie Dixon, who kicked 4 last week.
I went down to Hobart last week and watched Adelaide.
How was that trip?
It was long. A long trip. North probably didn't deliver
what
the football.
What happened on the tarmac
Yeah, three guys had been on a big weekend and one decided to pass out and throw up on the plane. So we got delayed for 2 hours on the tarmac.
So you could smell vomit?
Mate, they got the wheelchair out, wheeled him off, the poor bugger. They had to move his two mates to business because there was vomit everywhere in the row. It was grim. It was a grim, sad day.
And then you had to sit through North Melbourne's performance.
Yeah, but we saw Adelaide and it looked like they got a bit of their mojo and a bit of confidence back. And I know they were playing North Melbourne, but sometimes you can bounce off that. And I'm excited to see what they can do this weekend. And how good is it to have the showdown on prime time?
And there's no showdown medal, so there's no prices for that. But Robbie Gray's owned this clash for many times. So who do you like in the showdown medal?
Yeah, well, you got to go for one of the midfielders because it's usually a midfielder that wins these types of awards. So I like Jack Soligo. If you think Adelaide are going to win, he's been their best player, I think, this year. Jordan Dawson is a big game performer and will attract the votes. And then from Port Adelaide, you got a few to choose from. Horn Francis, Rosie and Butters are usually the three that you'd look to.
What I will say is Port Adelaide this year are ranked number 2 at not allowing ball. So total positions conceded, Port Adelaide defend really well.
That's why Rankin wins it.
Yeah, so if you're looking at Adelaide players, know that Port Adelaide defend really well. But I do like Adelaide. Same game mould as yours this week.
Yeah, let's have a look at that, Brownie. I think Port Adelaide, if they're going to win, they're going to win by more than 7.5, which is the line. Horn Francis had 20 last week in a quiet first half. So I feel like he's getting 20 most weeks, if not every week this year. Willem Drew won the medal. He's going to spend a lot of time at those stoppages. Doesn't play.
25 for
Willem
Drew.
Have another position other than midfield. So that would be the value that you're getting there. And then Keane takes
the
kick.
Did you vote on that medal last week?
I did.
You can follow that beat and many others. Sportsbet feed. Join it now. Explore. Copy other people's bets as well. And you can see how many punters are on that bet. Your big bet last week got up. It was a 10 bucker.
Yeah, I got. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah, later, a little bit later on in the show. But just on that medal, I love Jace Burgoyne and his performance last week. He didn't win the medal, but I thought he was. I did give him the votes, and he got the coach's votes as well. Playing wing, so if you like him for 20 plus as well, you might get some value there because he's.
I didn't have Willem Drew in my top six players.
I had him third. I gave him one vote.
Right. Yeah. Well done.
Okay.
Burgoyne's come on though, over the last.
Well, you know all about skinny wingmen.
Yeah. But. He got dropped a couple of times last year, but he looks like a mainstay now.
What was it like to play in one of these games?
Yeah, it's enormous. It's so good. The rivalry, there's a genuine hatred. I think that's what you need for a rivalry. You need to really dislike the opposition. Now, the thing that I've noticed in this game, which I like, Port Adelaide have been quite outspoken in the build-up to these games. They talk about the hate and the dislike for Adelaide, but then they've been made to look foolish on game day. There's been too much talking from Port Adelaide.
I love the talk, though.
Yeah, but then when you are made to look foolish on the game and you lose the last couple by big margins, you go, I'm not sure we got that method right. Yeah. So they've been more subtle about the build-up. And there hasn't been as much overt energy going into the opposition. They're focusing on themselves. But, you know, who knows in these games? I mean, they've won about even over the course of 50-odd showdowns. So it's a toss of a coin one.
All right, speaking of rivalries, Friday night football is an absolute cracker as well. Carlton up against Collingwood. Collingwood, no Jordan Dugowie, so their odds have gone. They're about $1.95 at one point, Collingwood, so they have drifted. Mitchell, obviously, was in doubt as well for this game. But midfield, they dominated last week, the Blues. I feel if they dominate again, it's just set up for Curno and Mackay. Charlie Curno hasn't missed three goals yet this season.
Yeah, it is. It is set up for them. But what I loved this week was the commentary coming out of Carlton and how displeased they are with their defensive work. Mm. So I can't wait to see that operate on Friday night. And to me, we talk about all the rivalries in footy, and this has probably lost a little bit of its hatred.
Who stops this guy?
This is my number one to watch. Who stops the guy? Well, I don't know. Collingwood defend funny, and since Murphy's gone out, they like to drop off. But I think probably Howe or someone goes to him, and then they try and get someone to drop off. And
I'd love that matchup. That's why I really like the Blues in this game. You saw Curno 3+ and Mackay 2+. I don't think they have a matchup for them. It's going to be a bit of Frampton. I mean, Billy Frampton versus Curno or Mackay. Like, please, it's going to be Howe, who's at the latter stages of his career, and with Carlton's dominance through the midfield, they're going to get such a great supply. So I just think Carlton might win big in this one.
And I think my best bet centres around those two players, and it is Charlie Curno, who's kicked the minimum three goals in every game, and also Harry Mackay. He's only really missed out once this year, been playing some pretty good football. So if they play to their average, they kick those, and it's a pretty short one. But those two guys, you got any problems with that? You happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
Midfield as well. Sam Walsh has been flying.
Yeah, he's been getting massive numbers. There's some numbers that I think he could be a little bit more potent with, and every now and then he's getting the ball because he is Sam Walsh, but it's ridiculous how well he's come back off his injury, and it feels like Cripps has stepped up because Walsh is there as well. So we're seeing a better product in the midfield, but does that translate to goals and on the scoreboard? It hasn't as of yet.
I feel like he's been getting more ball forward to the ground.
I agree with that. So you saw the numbers. The numbers are the numbers, and you know, he's a great bet for 30+ again, and I think I might have got that up last week as well in my multi-brownie. But he is getting the footy in the front half of the ground, and he's doing maximum damage from stoppage. So if you look at his score involvements, which is a good measure of the impact that you're having, he's massive. Like against the Giants, 14 score involvement. Thought he was really good last week. So the Cripps-Walsh duo in the midfield is as good as any. And I feel like you mentioned Cripps. He's got more power, I reckon. Like his first 5 metres, he's bursting out. And he looks to be, you know, body free and covering the ground well.
That is two cracking games to start us off. Thursday night, Friday night. Let's take a look after the break at all the Saturday action. Izzy, what about last week? The Corn, the 10 bucker that he got up. Sam Walsh, 30. It all looks really easy when you look back on this and go, Mitch Duncan, yeah, that's 20. Jeremy Cameron, 4 for $10.50. I mean, $10.50 seems easy. And on Sportsbet feed, if you follow Kane, 109 punters got on that and followed you and are very, very happy with you.
Just have to hit copy, Isaac. So it's pretty good value.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mitch Duncan, 20 touches each week. Takes
that's a
kick
lot.
Out. He's just lock him in. He's been one of Geelong's best.
So that was value. And talking about value, the value hunters. Yes, have a look at the value hunters.
Bird watcher.
So let's go through a couple of them and where I didn't get. So Braden Cook, never heard of him. Didn't even know he played AFL football. He kicked 3 goals for $46. Daniel Turner, they call him Disco.
Disco.
$26 for 3+ goals. Some punters got on that. They got on those two. Braden Cook for 46.
Gave Turner votes in the medal. Jack Eve as well. He was very impressive.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Melbourne up against Geelong. Absolutely brilliant game, this one. It is a battle of forwards up against defence. The defenders are the Demons, the forwards of the Cats. This is just popcorn, sit back on the couch and watch some great footy.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about that. I just love what Geelong have done, and you've seen that they're right in it from the start of the season. So strong forward of the ball, behind the ball. The only question is the midfield. So if you like Melbourne in this game, you think they're going to really get on top in the midfield, like Carlton did last week, plus 19 in entries, but Geelong held up well. But with Gorn, Petrarca, Oliver, and the like, you feel like that's Melbourne's real advantage. But are you questioning the D's ability to score?
Well, yeah, it's difficult. It's probably been their Achilles heel for the last 18 months, and they've been throwing Brown in and a couple of others to try and find their perfect mix. They push Petrarca forward a little bit. But to me, this is a battle of Geelong's forward line versus Melbourne's back line. Melbourne set up so well, May and Lever, and then they just leverage off that. But Geelong have an unbelievable forward line. Dangerfield being out in the midfield hurts, but Geelong have been able to win this year without Dangerfield as well.
So the forward line, I agree with you, has been a little bit haphazard. So players in and out, Brown, Petty hasn't got the job done. But Disco Daniel Turner comes in last week and kicks three. So you feel like he's going to be the most targeted forward too last week. Is it a stopgap? Can we back Daniel Turner? How do you see him?
He's young and developing.
Energy, though. He had some energy.
He had some energy. And he turned the game. I'm interested to see, because he's probably coming up against the best defence in the competition. And Geelong will now know about him. You joked that you didn't know about these players before the weekend. Geelong will now know, and they'll set a plan for him as well. So hopefully he does star and he does help Melbourne. And Fritch can get off the leash a little bit, because I feel like each team just goes to Fritch where he's their number one guy. But in a good forward line, Fritch probably gets the third defender. But at the moment, he gets the two best defenders looking out for him the whole time.
Do you like Daniel Turner for two, three, four, a repeat of last week, three?
Just one.
Any time
goals.
I'll take that. Okay, let's talk about those Geelong midfielders. No Dangerfield, obviously, but these two guys have been electric this year. I know Grime Myers is a forward, but he basically plays as a midfielder. So he gets up into the middle of the ground and gets multiple possessions, 20 pretty much every week.
Sneaky
and
he also trade, isn't he?
Not sneaky.
Absolutely.
He couldn't even get in the squad last year.
Yeah, I understand, but the difference for him this year is he kicked 7 goals for the year last year. He's kicked 7 already. And what he's done to protect his midfield is really smart. Smartest coach in the league by about 20%, I reckon. Cameron comes up, protects the stoppage at times. Myers and Close come up and play as those extra midfielders. And Holmes comes off the back almost like a Nick Dacos extra midfielder as well. So whilst they're inside mids aren't as strong as some other teams, what they do around the periphery of that has been really smart. But those two, and I like their small forwards as well. Stengel's been in good form for the Cats.
7 out of 7 for Max Holmes at 20-plus disposal. My best bet comes up in this game as Melbourne to 1-39. So I look at this game, and never has there been a game that's going to be won in the coach's box more than this one. So Chris Scott, who we think is probably the best tactician as a coach, this is a huge opportunity for Simon Goodwin to look at what they're doing, look at what Cameron, look at what Myers is doing, and say, OK, we're going to go to work on them. We're going to have a plan for Cameron. We're going to have a plan for Myers. So if Melbourne win this, it's going to be Simon Goodwin, the tactician. Can he set this game up? Because you know you've got Lever and you've got Stephen May to do the job in the back end. Tom McDonald's been pretty good as well. So those players, I think, can hold Geelong. It's whether they're good enough then to link up the rest of the game, the midfielders and the forwards. But I feel like Simon Goodwin, this is, it's not D-Day, but it's more like, OK, we've arrived as a football club again and we can take on the best. And the best is the Cats at the moment.
Yeah, an interesting tactic for Melbourne is going to be, clearly they should get on top in the midfield and you think they'll get centre bounce ascendancy, but Geelong are so good at scoring off the turnover. So how will he set his high half forwards up in the game to stop that rebound turnover game which Jeremy Cameron and Grime Myers and Brad Close are so dangerous in?
All right, let's have a look at No Mates in the Media. I've heard some things during the week that maybe Patrick Dangerfield needs to temper the way he plays. Do you abide by that as well?
No, not at all. I think Danger, he's been, if not the best, one of the best in the competition for 15 years at his ferocity at the football, and that's why he is the best. So I saw how he did it on the weekend, and the way and the speed he was going at the ball, that's what you want when Patrick Dangerfield's on the field. They've just got to get him right.
He's 34 now.
He is.
Regular soft tissues piling up. They changed his pre-season with the extra high-speed running. Was that a mistake?
No. I think you're seeing the power of Geelong, and you're going to lose soldiers throughout the year. It's how can you replace them, and Geelong have been so good at stepping up.
Has Alistair Clarkson lost his magic?
I don't think so. They've gone into North Melbourne and there was obviously a lot of mistakes made before Clarko got there. And I look at their list and think, from 24 to 31 years of age, 32 years of age, who's there and who's driving the standards and who are the players that are consistently rocking up week in, week out? And they've got to build that, they've got to develop that, and these younger players are going to come through, and it's a 4, 5, 6 year project.
I saw during the week that you're putting the boots back on. Who are you playing for? Bunyip.
Bunyip.
Well, tell us about who they are.
Bit of Carlton draft magic, mate. Just get out, help the local community. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good fun.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
Out of the goodness of my heart.
How much?
Supporting the local team.
How much? I reckon...
15?
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, a bit more than that, is it?
Please, please.
Did you have a bunny when you played?
Yeah, Melbourne.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Had some... Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide had some really big
days. And then you didn't go to Melbourne. You chose Geelong over them.
Yeah, well, if I was playing for him, I couldn't play
against him. Ah, good one, Isaac. That is mates of the media. Hey, what about this game? Sydney up against the Giants. This is an absolute ripper. Sam Taylor's had his say. He said that Sydney are a smug team. Expected to be maybe 20 to 40 millimetres of rain. So the total points under comes in. It's about 147.5 at the moment. But I'm keen on the unders in this game. And if you're keen on the unders and it rains that much, the big boy's in the middle. So Tom Green, and I like Rowbottom for stats in this game.
Yeah, so they're the ones you go for, those real in and under contested beasts that are at the stoppages. I guess the one question about Sydney is their key forwards, and we'll get to Logan McDonald and his form recently. Now, in the wet, it's going to be a bit more difficult for him to do what he's been doing. But at 2+ goals, he's been good value, hasn't he, Logan McDonald? And he's doing that consistently. So can him, Amati, McLean stand up? And can they do it in September is the question that I think the three
nice
of us have
nice record for McDonald, but
year.
I couldn't back him in the wet.
Nah. When the rain comes, look for the players that have speed. So look for Goulden. You talk about you need hard in and under players. They all slip. They all get hit. The ball bobbles out.
Warner.
Look for Goulden, Warner, Kelly for GWS. And then look for the smalls because the ball scoots out the back. If you can read it off the pack, little goals. Papley, I reckon, will have 2 or 3.
Right. So step around Tom Green, you reckon, even with this sort of record. Five of his last seven.
Well, if they've got any body pressure.
Plus disposals.
If they've got any body pressure on them, they'll slip. And if he can get those little handballs out, he might get a lot of numbers.
He's built like a keg, mate. He doesn't slip.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he'll slip. The ball will slip out of his
hand. No, he's clean.
If there's 40 mils of rain.
Sydney's ball movement is what's been one of their real weapons. Best kicking team, I think, in the comp. What about the conditions with them? And then does that bring GWS into favouritism for this game?
Well, if you can, especially in these conditions, get your forwards up higher. You don't worry about those short kicks. You kick them long. You get the ball out the back. You get speed. You turn around. You defend behind it. You lock it in your half. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams set up. But I'd still have to go Sydney in this game. Mm.
Stephen Canelio, one of those outside players, or is he an inside player? Because his disposal record's been pretty good. Missed out in round 5, but comes back in.
Yeah, no, he's been really good.
He's injured in that game.
He's got a little bit of both, and that's the beauty of Steve Canelio when he's at his best. He's inside and outside. He's got some speed, but the names I mentioned earlier, the ones I'd be looking at.
Brent. Nice one, Isaac. Okay, same game multi-time in this one. So with 20 to 40 millimetres of rain, I can't see how it is, unless they're lying to us and the Bureau of Meteorology sometimes can get it wrong, but I'm going to back them in that there's at least 20 mils under 147. James Rowbottom, he's the one that will just eat it up in those conditions, so 20 plus disposals. And Tom Green, I know you don't like him in this game, but I do like him at 25 plus. Quick tip.
I like the Giants.
Swannies.
I'm going to go to the Giants as well. I think they'll be nice in the conditions. Good luck, and we'll come back later.
Brownie, what's your favourite Anzac Day moment of all time?
Favourite one is still the first game. So people were locked out, 95,000 people there, new concept. It was something new for the AFL, and people just couldn't get in. And the game ended up in a draw. It was a brilliant game of football. A new concept, the first one for me. Still love it.
Play on, high ball. Moore's going to mark it. I reckon we're out of time.
Play on.
Siren, it's a draw. It's a drawn Anzac Day. 29 years after the very first one finished the exact same way.
First one was a draw and it was a ripper game last week. What about the first shot that they go to and the rare units all sitting together
with the
headband and the sunnies? That was good. Do we like the draw or do you like extra time?
Nah, I love the draw in the home and away. I think it's something unique and special to AFL footy.
Well, someone backed it.
Yeah, there's a few punters backed it at $41.
Amazing.
It's always punters back the draw. It's a big price and it happens once a year probably.
You tried to back on the other day. It didn't work.
Yeah, no, it didn't at all. Yeah,
that was the Hawthorn-North Melbourne game.
Yeah. All right, danger game for the Bombers. Danger game for the Bombers. I reckon all Essendon supporters going to this game know we've been playing well. We're back the Bombers and now they go to the West Coast Eagles. This is the type of game that they get nervous about.
It is the type of game that they get nervous about, and particularly because West Coast have been solid. They kicked the first three against Gold Coast again on the weekend after winning their previous two. Their key players are playing well, but they're kidding themselves, Essendon, if they don't rock up and win comfortably in this game.
You'd expect them to win. The only thing is when you come off a game like Anzac Day, there's always a bit of a lull. So that would be my hope. If I was wanting to back West Coast or a West Coast supporter, that's where I'd be getting.
And they haven't coped with expectation, have they, the Bombers? Like, I've seen a lot of positive articles about the Bombers and looking forward to whether they play finals
or
not.
You obviously haven't written any of them.
I haven't. Someone asked me, are they going to play finals? I said, no way. I do not trust Essendon to be able to cope with that expectation. So you're right, Brownie. This is a game that they must just tick off.
Don't think they've got a good matchup for Kyle Langford. So he makes up some of my best of the round in this one. He's kicked 6 of 7 games, 2+ goals. He kicked 4 last week in a big performance, missed out on his 5th one, obviously, and he's a very, very safe kick, apart from the one he missed late last week. So most of the time, Kyle Langford gets it. I like to back him. So at 4+ goals in this game, they've got the players in Barass and
McGovern
to take the tools. I just don't see how they've got a big matchup for Kyle Langford, and I think he's gonna destroy
him. Yeah, who does play on him? Not sure. Who, Duggan or someone like that? With it and perhaps, but
how good's Duggan been playing? Duggan and Waterman. Yeah. Waterman's been the surprise packet.
Their improvement has come from that. I mean, we talk about Harley Reid a lot.
Well, we talk about North Melbourne previously. Like, West Coast still have those 25 to 32-year-olds that have got some real talent.
Yeah. So that's my value for the round. Now you two blokes have got your value as well.
Yeah, so I'm on a similar line to you, Brownie. But
it's going to be a big game for Essendon.
I think that Essendon are going to win comfortably, and big Peter Wright back into the side, starting to feel comfortable about
himself. So if we took Langford and Wright together, we could get about $26.
Well,
or should have thrown Stringer.
I think one of us is going to be right on that. I think one of their forwards is going to have a big night. I think it's big 2-meter Peter.
Well, I should have taken Stringer for 4, but I went Tyson Stengel. I'm not sure they'll get the 12 goals, but I went Stengel. I'm just not sure from Melbourne who's going to match up on him, and they'll be putting so much work into Close, Myers, Cameron and Hawkins, so I feel like Stengel might get off the leash.
Zach Merritt was big last week. He won the medal, obviously. Nick Martin was very close behind him, but McGrath Zach Merritt stiff. Pretty much every game. McGrath was stiff, but Zach Merritt, he's been outstanding this season, really elevated himself. He's second in the Brownlow betting at the moment.
Just racks him up, and he's the one mainstay through the midfield when they've gone younger around him. So what Durham and Caldwell have done have been really important. Hobbs is getting more minutes through there. Parrish has been moved out a little bit. Just on Martin, if you like Martin for height, I suppose, just keep in mind that he was pushed forward late in that game in Anzac. He had 10 in the last quarter, but it was playing across half forward. So that's a watch for me for the punters who have backed him regularly for 25, 30 plus, that if he's playing forward, going to be a fair bit harder for him to get the footy as much.
Speaking of players who push forward, so Harley Reid had a week out, a rest up, comes back in. This is his last three, so he's kicked a goal in every one. Obviously, in round 6, he kicked 3, but as an any-time goal scorer, to kick a goal at any time throughout the game, only the one, $1.80. To put that into perspective, Charlie Kerner, who's obviously kicking goals for fun at the moment, he's $1.04 to kick a goal at any time. So I feel like the $1.80 value you're getting is pretty good for Harley.
The only thing is, I reckon Brad Scott and Essendon have been talking about this nasty streak, and the last couple of weeks they've been playing really solid football. It wouldn't surprise me if Brad Scott just lets Harley
goes
read.
After him.
Well, maybe not go after him, but just make him known that he's playing AFL footy.
Well, the player it could be is this next man we're featuring, is Jai Caldwell. So he plays on and off. He's hard, he's tough, he's one of the reasons why the Essendon midfield is going well. And it's short $1.34 to have 20 plus, but it's certainly one to put into your same game multi.
Yeah, as I said, he's been so important for them with Durham. So I like the new look of the Essendon midfield, keeping some more experienced players like Scheel out of the side as well. But if I was going to go after one player, it would be Elliot Yeo from West Coast. He's definitely in All-Australian form, early days in the season, but he looks sharp, powerful, and he's getting big numbers in clearance and scoreboard impact.
Now, I wouldn't mock anyone for never getting a same game multi up. I missed the occasion one, but I don't think you've got one up yet. So pressure's on.
Is it this round, surely?
No.
Yeah, no.
I haven't done your homework there, Brownie. But this one, I'm going Essendon, Elliot Yeo 25 plus, Zach Merritt 25 plus, and I said last week, McGrath will win the medal and he'll get another 25. He should have won it.
He should have won it.
I think you got to him then.
I did. He's a bit rattled. Here is the feed. So join the feed. You can copy that. The Sportsbet feed. Isaac's punters. And also, Kane was in there with his $10 winner.
And Kate's been in good form.
And Kate's been in ripping form. So Sportsbet feed as we head into the next game. And it is St Kilda up against North Melbourne. Not exactly the name of game one. I wouldn't have thought this one. But the Saints, under pressure, just have to win this game. Couldn't back them at the price they are there. But the one thing that I do like against St Kilda are halfbacks. So have a look at this and what halfbacks, and I think I showed you this last week. So this is what halfbacks have been doing against St Kilda. They are big numbers. Ross Lyon doesn't rate halfbacks, doesn't tag them, even said about Nick Martin, I don't think he was hurting us, although he had 44. So who is that man at North Melbourne? Harry Sheezel, 5 of his 7 games this season have been 30 plus disposals, or McKercher took the kick-ins last week, 12 kick-ins. It was a Nick Del Santo special, 12 kick-ins, and he played on 11 times.
That must be a record. That must be a record. But, yeah, the only risk for Sheezel is if they move him to the midfield or forward, but they haven't done that yet, so I don't suspect that they will. But keep that in mind. Yes?
Have you seen a cleaner first, second, third-year player than Harry Sheezel and more composed?
No, but I'd love to see him do it. I'd love to see him do it up the field a little bit more.
Yeah, so would I. But they're in a different stage of development at the moment. But I was blown away with how quick, clean, composed.
Is
he was
it hurting his development playing easy football at halfback though?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if internally he's learning how to defend. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. It'd be hurting his development not having those 25 to 30 year olds that can protect him and help him and guide him in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. The forwards load up, don't they, when they play?
It's got to be a boot filler day. A boot filler day, just like when Isaac used to play against Melbourne out in the wing. It was a boot filler. And who is going to be? I think it's Mitch Owens. I think he is due. I think he's been promising a lot. I just feel like he doesn't have a matchup in this game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So he kicked 2 last week against Port Adelaide, but I'd love to see him get more of the footy, and that has come through lack of opportunity, I think, playing that forward, probably second ruck role. But North Melbourne behind the ball are uncompetitive. Now, that's due to personnel and also the amount of entries that they can see, but it's a big opportunity for the Saints to put a big score on the board, because everyone that's played against North has kicked 100-plus this year. The one area that I'm concerned about the Saints is their inability to score. So let's see how Mitch Owens goes and see if he can have a field day.
Over 120 on average against them. Okay, it is time for Kane to do what Kane does best.
So a double pronger who's on notice this week. Firstly, it's Luke Davies Jr.
Right.
Because he needs to lift. He's their best player. I noticed that he wasn't in the leadership group at the start. Why wouldn't this guy be in North Melbourne's leadership group? He's their best player, should be leading and driving the midfield. His numbers look okay, but he's not impacting like we know that he can. Love to see him burst out of stoppage, hit the scoreboard like what Patrick Cripps is doing. That's the first bit of this. The second bit is for Jay Clark, I think it was, that said that St Kilda are going to offer him a contract $13 to $15 million.
It was $10 million on Sunday. Inflation went up 30 to 50%.
It's gone up $3 to $5 million. There is no way you could pay Luke Davies Uniacke $13 million. I don't care what the salary cap, I don't care what it's going to. He doesn't deserve $13 million.
So
St Kilda, Jay Clark, Luke Davies Uniacke, you're on notice.
They're all on notice, Isaac. They are all on notice.
Can North Melbourne... thought LDU was okay on the weekend.
Okay, LDU, you are on notice, and everybody has pumped their stats after Kane's put somebody on notice. So good luck. Plenty more still to come. Let's have a look at our multi for round 7. So this is where we put our best bet in. And my one is, I just want to be speaking about Errol Goulden at 25 plus on the wing at the MCG.
And I stole that Taylor Walker one off you, Brownie. I like it. Tex, I think he probably kicks 5 or 6, but 3 plus is a pretty good bet.
Yeah, and I reckon you've both been soft here, so I thought I'd throw Joey Denner in to kick 4, and he'll get up the ground, he'll get off the leash. He's been getting shots, and I reckon, well, Taylor's out, and I reckon he can do a bit of damage.
In your defence, Tex Walker was handballing him off all game.
10 metres out. Takes a mark in the first quarter, first 5 minutes, handballs it off.
And when there's a guy that you don't like, I don't think you can back him next time. Okay, you have a genuine dislike for each other, so don't back him again. And you put a massive handbrake on
Joe
Danaher.
What about your
gutless bet? He's got a tick next to it.
25 plus Goulden.
Winner,
and
winner.
He gets that in his sleep.
That is a winner. And he got it too.
Right, we're winners here, Isaac. We're like winners.
Okay, Richmond up against Fremantle Dockers. And at the moment, Richmond have hardly any defenders, and it's going to be hard. So I just look at the Fremantle forwards this weekend, and Jackson's been playing down there. Amos obviously comes back, but the one I like is Tracy. He looks like he's about to have a breakout game, a 4, a 5, a 6, but I'm going to start with a 3. So 2-plus goals, $1.64, which is nice for your same-game multi. But my best bet for this game comes up with this man, Tracy. I think they get enough ball inside forward 50, 3-plus goals for the big fella.
Well, if they can move the ball like they did last week, he'll get those opportunities to do that. There was a definite change in the in that aspect of their game.
They've got
leg speed in their side, which they're starting to use, at 150 handball receives, and clearly they were able to score more. So I hope they keep that up for the rest of the year.
8 goals in the last 3 weeks for Tracy, and he's having 4 or 5 shots on goal a game, a miss back, Darcy comes in, Jackson forward.
They good hands.
Their list and their team, like their 22 now looks really strong. They've got Erasmus and Sturt out, who are number 10 and number 17 picks in the draft. They can't even make it into the side at the moment, so they've got some talent.
If you're a line punter, Kane, you'd have to be thinking that Fremantle will cover the line in this game.
I would have thought so. I love the line. 11.5.
That they win by 2 goals.
Winning by more than that with the outs that Richmond have got and the situation that they're in. And Fremantle have started the season strongly. Yep, you give them that one off against West Coast, which was poor. But every other game, they've been really competitive, if not have won it. And if they can increase their scoring, oh, I don't see a way that Richmond get near them in this game.
Very good Fifield now.
Yeah, 15 in the first quarter last week was a career high. Sarong had 17 clearances. Their midfield is flying and their forward line's starting to look better as well.
Hey, Jordan Clark's an outside chance for an All-Australian top 40, or whatever it's called. 20-plus disposals, 7 of those 7 in a row. $1.24 goes into your same-game multis, and he's a good value price at 25. He's one. And also Hayden Young's the other one, who playing more midfield time. He's $1.15. But if you're looking for something to just boost up your multis to get up to $2.50, maybe that's the one, Isaac.
gutless Snape. I've really liked Clarkie's game this year.
Think he had that in him?
Yeah, I did. He's got a lot of speed. He feels really comfortable and confident back home. But some of his defensive efforts and his ability to get across and cut off, not only is he getting disposals, I feel like his game is getting more and more rounded each week.
Okay, Western Bulldogs up against Hawthorn, and this game for the Western Bulldogs is just a must win. You get Jamara back, so you've got a full suite of forwards to choose from. You've got Sam Darcy, you've got Aaron Norton down there, Hawthorn depleted down back. It seems like this is set up for the Bulldogs to have a big win.
It does. They play Marvel so well under the roof. Darcy, gee, he could be anything. And will be anything. And he's getting to the point where we've got to stop saying that and saying that he's arrived, because I thought he looked like he was going to be the match winner last week. Who plays in him? No idea. Norton back into the... Hugo Hagen back in the side with Norton. Pretty daunting proposition for the Hawthorn defence.
It's nearly the hardest skill in football, taking a tested mark with arms fully extended. And Darcy seems like he does that 3 or 4 times a game. I reckon Harry Mackay is another one that does it, but there's not many of them.
How do you think Luke went calling his son? Hard gig.
Yeah, hard gig to call his son. I thought he was great. I thought he was fine. I like the insight about how close he got to the man on the mark as well. But the first goal scorer market, and now all the big boys are there. So you got Jamara, Aaron Norton, also Sam Darcy. But with no Riley West and no Cody Waitman, I'm going to be fascinated to see who plays forward in that forward role. Is it Caleb Daniel coming in, or is it Riley Garcia playing the small forward? Because I think there's value in goals, because those players haven't played there before, so their odds would probably be set up for Garcia as a midfielder and Caleb Daniel more as a halfback.
Yeah, been important as well, West and Waitman. Waitman's going to be out for probably a couple of months now, and West got that one game suspension, which was reasonably soft for me. So Caleb Daniel's done it before. Do they put Bontempelli more forward if you like his goal market as well? You may have a look at that. But you've got an unheralded Bulldog you think is going to get a stack of it.
Well, the wing position, Isaac, your place, has been a big happy hunting ground against Hawthorn this season. So players have been putting up big numbers. And who plays on the wing for the Bulldogs is Bailey Williams. So you can't back him at $1.36, but that's certainly one to go into your same game multis. But my best bet is Bailey Williams at 20-plus disposals. So you start to get a little bit better of a price.
I was a bit concerned there because it said 15-plus disposals, tick, 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 and you said he's going to fill his boots. And I was thinking, what, 16 is a fill-your-boots day on the wing, is it?
20-plus for Bailey, or his disposal line is 17.5. So I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think you should be. I think you should be. They get a stack of the footy, the Bulldogs. They always have, and he's a player we don't speak a lot about, but has been pretty reliable for them.
And the Q Clash is the other game. So Brisbane up against the Gold Coast Suns. Fascinating game for two reasons. Brisbane need to win, otherwise they are looking at kissing the final 8 chances goodbye. And Gold Coast 2 weeks ago had a big challenge against Sydney away from home and failed.
Yeah, it is. Massive game. Massive game. And it's been coming out of Brisbane a little bit this week, but we talked about a few of their stats last week and how they're dominating in so many areas, especially inside 50s. I'd love to see Brisbane just lock the ball in their inside 50, get their defence up behind it and get their game going again, because I still think they're a genuine threat, but they have to get their game going.
Yeah, they've got a favourable draw in the next month, but you've got to start moving now. I mean, they've got to finish top four, I think, to win the premiership. They can't drop probably any more than two more games for the rest of the year for that to happen. But so many key players out of form. Lachie Neale out of form. Harris Andrews down. Charlie Cameron down. Dunkley probably down. Hipwood. So there's so many, and they're the reasons why they're not performing. But I just feel
like the Suns can make the finals.
Yes,
you've been big on
them. Suns will make the finals, but are they in the best eight teams in the league? I don't think they are. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. But it's the fact that they've got a really easy draw. But I'd love for Gold Coast to stand up against good opposition out of their own environment and have a big win, because they're beating who they should beat at the moment. They're yet to take a big scalp away from home.
There's two bits of data that doesn't lie, and I like to bring you data, Isaac, and inform you. So, disposals against the Gold Coast Suns, very hard to get the footy off them, because at the moment, disposals conceded per game, they rank number one, so it's hard to get the ball off them. So the least disposals conceded are the Gold Coast Suns, so they're going really well in that area. So you look at Lachie Neale, you normally back McCluggage, I might step around them, but on the other side, they haven't been able to handle small forwards, the Gold Coast Suns. So they've had goals kicked on them pretty much every week. Jamie Cripps was the least last week with two. He hardly touched it, but he's still got the two. Papley with three. A couple of big bags of six and five there. So if there's ever a time that Charlie Cameron returns to form, and I feel like that makes up my best bet, three plus goals as a starting point for Charlie Cameron this week.
Yeah, and Charlie, he's probably not having the year he wants, but last week he had two goals, one against GWS, then they had that rain affected game against Geelong, so I'll wipe that. That was monsoonal weathers. And then the week before that, he had three goals, two against Melbourne. So even though he's not in the greatest form, he's still hitting the scoreboard, so I think he could absolutely turn
it on. Might see the motorbike this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't
motorbike, want to. Bring the motorbike.
Country,
yeah.
My daughter loves country roads when that gets going, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, let's get into our multi for this weekend. We almost got it up last week. I was the only one who got there. But Swans Giants, potentially 20 to 40 millimetres of rain. 147 is the total at the moment. I feel like it goes under that by a long way. So that's my starting leg.
And I feel like the package, Jake Stringer, who went to 20 centre bounces last week and was influential with eight clearances for 20 plus.
Has he ever had 20 plus, Jake?
Well, he had 19 last week, and they're going to leave him in the midfield, and he's going to play in the midfield against West Coast a lot more than he has for the start of this year. And surely, if you're playing midfield, you get 20 plus.
And I've been banging on about it all day. Tyson Stengel, three goals, v Melbourne, lock it in.
Gone there again.
Yeah, I have.
You like Tyson, don't you?
I like
Tyson. Good player.
He's a really good player.
All right, well, that's the multi. $64.84. Yeah. That is a massive multi. Okay, so it is the end of the show. If there's one thing this weekend you're looking for, one club, one player, if you want something to happen, what is it?
I want Port Adelaide to stand up in a big showdown with a few injury concerns. If they are serious about winning this year's premiership or being in contention, then they just beat Adelaide.
Alira is a massive out, though. How do they get around that? Texas has got a good record against them.
At least they've got Zerk Thatcher and Radaglia and some key defensive cover that they haven't had in previous years.
All right, same question for you.
Charlie Curnow, explode at the G. Carlton v Collingwood, massive Carlton win. I think footy will be absolutely rocking after that.
95,000 people there. I'm keen on Jamara to come back and show us why he's one of the emerging stars of the competition. Thanks for joining us on In the Back Pocket. We'll do it all again next week.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.